Every time I put a sermon together, it's 4 pages of notes every single time. I'm going to make this one shorter, and then it's 4 pages of notes. But I really want to just talk about 2 things this morning, being Mother's Day. First of all, we blessed Pastor Karen, but my mom is back from down south. And if it wasn't for Pastor Karen, the church wouldn't be here. If it wasn't for my mom, I wouldn't be here. So that's pretty important, I think. And then sitting next to my mom is my wife, the mother of our crew. And just want to bless her in the name of the Lord. So two things, everybody. Number one, being Mother's Day, I think we tend to think about God and worship God and sing songs about God. And we think of God, if we're honest, we think of God most times in a kind of a masculine type of way. Is that true? Right? And that's great, right? But we think of the Lord God Almighty. Yeah, and you just picture, like he's strong, and he's powerful and he's wise. And then we think about just a judge, a warrior, a king, a defender. But as I've grown in the Lord a little bit, I've started realizing that God, some of the attributes of God that changed my life the most, I would not typically attribute to a man. Yep. I would attribute them to a woman.
That's right.
It's crazy to me, this culture issue we've got with we don't want to call women women anymore. We don't want to call men men, like, for crying out loud. What? I can't forget the psychology behind it. I just don't understand, why we need women to be women. We need men to be men.
Amen to that.
Can I get amen?
That's right,
I have a pretty good relationship with my dad, but I just remember so clearly that the first time I got wrecked by the Lord, man, and I knew it was the Lord. I'd had times before that, but I just was like, wow, I'm really emotional right now, right? But the first time that I knew that it was the Lord and just wrecked, I remember just on my face at this worship conference, just weeping uncontrollably, and I kept saying to the Lord in my heart, I'm not worthy. And he kept saying to me, every time I said that, he said, but I love you anyway, son. And as I've grown, I've been married 22 years, I've got 4 children, my wife has inspired me. To be a better man. And because as dads, always say, when the kids are jacked up, we're like, wait till your father comes home. But I saw something not too long ago, and it was said, I don't ever want my children to think if they do something wrong, I don't want them to think, man, don't let dad find out. I want them to think, we need to go tell dad. Because I know that he'll fix it. You see what I'm saying? I think that's more of a feminine attribute. Do you agree with that, church? I want to show you something here, just for a moment, then we'll get into point number 2. When we think about God's kindness, gentleness, right? We don't typically think of a man as gentle, do we? We all know men that are gentle, but that's much more typical to a woman, right? A woman is, if we want to be comforted, we typically don't run to a man, right? Anybody got little kids still? If they fall down and bump their knee, do they run? Are they, daddy? No, it doesn't matter. I'm like, come here, honey. And runs right by me. I'm like, I can hug you too. But they want mommy, right? Because they know mommy's going to make it better. And in creation, in the garden, church, when God made Adam, we know the story, I hope, but God made Adam, and then it says that he brings all of the animals, everything that he created, all these animals and birds and bugs and everything, and Adam is actually the one that names everything. So just think about, for another sermon today, but just think about how intelligent Adam was. He doesn't say that God tells him what to call. It says that Adam names every single thing that God ever created, right? And there's like one comedian talks about it. He's like, Adam, by the end of the day, he's just exhausted. So a fly goes by and bzz, flying by, and God's like, what are you going to call that? He's like, fly, because that's what it's doing. He's like, I'm just tired, man, right? But hippopotamus, that was a good one. Duck-billed platypus, you know? I think Adam named all that stuff, right? But if we know the story, it gets all the way, Adam names everything, right? And then it says, some of those funny things we see in Scripture. It says that God realizes, as if he didn't already know, but God realizes that there's not a suitable mate for Adam. So we know the story that God puts Adam to sleep, right, and takes a rib out of his side and creates Eve, right? Adam, the word Adam, name Adam just simply means man, and Eve means, woman means from the man, right? Eve is the mother of all creation. Can I get amen? But here's what hit me years ago, and I thought, man, this sounds odd, but God doesn't take a separate lump of dirt and make Eve. He makes Adam out of a clump of dirt, breathes his spirit into when he comes alive, right? But then to make Eve, he takes something that's in Adam out and creates Eve. You understand? What I see there is that when God made Adam, Adam was male and female together in one body. Does that sound weird to anybody? It sounds weird, doesn't it? But if God had to completely recreate a woman, he would have got another pile of dirt. But he did not. He took something out of Adam's side and created a woman. Are we all right? Now, when we talk about marriage, we have a marriage coming up here in a few weeks. Amen. We talk about marriage, the Bible talks about two becoming one flesh, right? But we always think about this kind of a physical thing, which is important to do that. But as I was working on this the other day, I was thinking about Jerry Maguire. Anybody seen that movie, Jerry Maguire, with Tom Cruise? And he, the girl, he calls her when he messes the whole thing up, and he calls her, and he's like, you complete me. And it became this, like, it was such a famous line for years. Everybody's like, you complete me. But, you know, it just came to my mind, and it's actually a really accurate statement biblically. I've worked with enough marriages. I've worked on my own quite a bit. We've been married a long time. And what we tend to do is men kind of approach things a certain kind of way, and women approach things a certain kind of a way, typically. And rather than realizing that both of those mindsets are from God, both of those perspectives are from God, we're like, what is wrong with you? And then the spouse looks at Jesus, or he, I don't know, what's wrong with you? That's dumb, that's stupid, blah, 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 and here we go, here comes the fireworks. Can I get amen? But when we come together, my beloved, as a husband and a wife, and we're intended to produce children and have children and populate the earth, can I get amen? Right? The issue, my beloved, is that we're supposed to come together and realize, like, you know what, as a man, I have a piece of the answer, and my wife has a piece of the answer. We're supposed to blend these two things together, and that's how we get the mind of God. Pretty solid. As I said a moment ago, I was really inspired as I watched my wife raise our children. I just looked at the way I would do things and said, man, this is just wrong. You know, I wanted to be more in touch with my feminine side. Amen. Is this all right? Second point for today, sermon title. So that was all bonus. Sermon title is Living Long in the Land. Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. It says, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you. Now, church, that That right there is a specific reference to the Old Testament promised land. All right? I may do a series here later this year, a long, really long one, but hang on, my thing's freaking out here. If you read through the Old Testament, particularly into the Exodus story and into the Promised Land, the Lord starts pouring out the law, right? He starts revealing the law to the Israelites. But there's a phrase you'll catch in there just about every single time when some of the law is poured out or unfolded before the Lord, and they'll say this. He says, when you get to the land I'm going to give you, be careful you do this, right? When you get to the land, be careful to do this. Observe this, observe this, observe this. And the Lord spoke to me years ago, and he said, son, look, you don't understand something. The law is not how you get into the promised land. It's how you stay in the promised land. See, what we do in church is we want to put rules and regulations on people before they figure out how to walk in the rest of the Lord. You can't live for God if you're in turmoil in here and in here. It's not possible. That's what Jesus said, come unto me, I'll give you rest, right? Take my yoke on you, let's work it out, and you'll find rest for your soul, mind, will, and emotions. So many Christians are in turmoil here, they can't think properly as the way the Lord wants them to think, and yet we're trying to put all this stuff on them, like, dude, stop doing this, stop doing that, start doing this all over the place. But the Lord's like, no, you're missing it entirely. You need to get to a place of rest here. You know who you are. You know who God is. You're okay with letting God do whatever he's going to do in a situation. And then you say, okay, now to stay in this place, I need to do certain things.
Right, that's right.
Is that all right, church? That's what we see here. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 16. Here we have the same command. Expanded just a little bit. Honor. Everybody say honor. Your father and your, as the Lord your God has commanded you, so that your days may be prolonged and that it may go well with you on the land which the Lord your God gives you. Now we have Ephesians chapter 6, just in case you're upset I'm in an Old Testament this morning. Here we have the Apostle Paul. Honor, everybody say honor.
Honor.
Your father and?
Mother.
And mother, which is the first commandment with?
A promise.
Oh. Everybody say so that it might be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Now Hebrews chapter 4, I'm ahead of my notes already a little bit here, but Hebrews chapter 4, if you go read through that, I think Paul wrote Hebrews. The Bible doesn't tell us who it is, but if you look at the way it's written, I think it's Paul. But in Hebrews 4, Paul talks about the rest of the old covenant, right? The promised land that Joshua brought them to. But then there's a verse there. He says, if Joshua had given God's people the rest that God really intended, there would not be another day of rest spoken about.
That's right.
And therefore, there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. Right? And what we typically do, church, because we're human, is we still want some kind of physical place we can go to. Right? But the Lord says, no, your promised land, that son, is in here. Your promised land is in here. This is where you've got to get to a place of rest. Can I get amen? You know, it's interesting, just a little side note, I might preach on this sometime. Can you back up one verse, back up to Deuteronomy 5:15, Ruth, just little bonus for everybody. Give me that real fast. Look, check this out, church. I read this morning and I was like, whoa, come on. Look at this. You sure remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt. But pastor, I thought I'm not supposed to remember my past. That ain't in the Bible nowhere. You're supposed to remember where you came from.
Yeah.
Well, I know why we're so ungrateful in the church today, because we forget where we came from.
Yeah.
And the Lord your God brought you out of there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. Now, I'm not suggesting that we need to have a day a week. There's some churches that are getting into that stuff. I don't know. I don't think that's what he's talking about. But what I see here, you know, church, if we don't purposefully unplug, like Elder Mo was saying, right? A no-title day. If we don't purposely unplug from what we do on a regular basis, you know what we turn back into? Slaves.
Yep.
I read a book one time, and the guy says, you know, as a pastor, you need to unplug from your church. Because if you don't, you start thinking that the church is running because you're there. Amen. He's like, I don't need you to run that church. He can run it all by himself. He doesn't need your help. He needs you to do what you're supposed to do. He doesn't need my help.
Yeah.
Sometimes, church, we're all in places of turmoil. We need to unplug from those places of turmoil and realize I can't fix this. God doesn't need me to fix it. He needs me to let go of it and give it to him.
Amen.
Amen. So I'm going to make one more point here. Then I want to just finish up this sermon. I told you I'd be shorter than normal. I think I'm going to honor that. We need to be careful. Careful, I think, is a good word. When we see suggestions that the law no longer applies to us. The Bible says we're not under law. Right? We no longer approach God through the works of the law. We approach God through grace, right? Come boldly, therefore, to the throne of grace by the blood of the Lamb, right? That you might receive mercy. I added the blood of the Lamb in there, but that's the concept, right? Because of the shed blood of Jesus, he satisfied the old covenant with his shed blood on the cross, right? I no longer got to come to God and go, okay, did I do this? Did I do this? No. The veil has been torn. Right? Top to bottom. Amen? Bottom to top? Yeah, because we rip it bottom to top. The angel ripped it top to bottom. Right? We have free access to the holiness of God. Right? I can go there anytime I want to because of Jesus. But, church, in Romans chapter 8, Paul tells us clearly that if we're led by the Spirit of God, we will fulfill the law. You don't hear that in church a whole lot, do you? It doesn't mean, again, it's not like the law is what's condemning me, but I should want to do the things God wants to do. God, does God change?
No.
So if God likes something in the Old Testament, does he still like it now?
Yes.
It's not how I approach God. There's the difference. I approach God because of Jesus, right? I'm right with God because of Jesus, not because I did something right or wrong. Can I get amen?
Amen.
So when we see this command here that Paul clearly brings into the new covenant, he doesn't say, hey, don't worry about honoring your father and your mother anymore because we're under grace. It's all good. Treat them however you want to. Look at our culture, my beloved. We homeschooled our kids. It was a challenge, but my goodness gracious, am I grateful that we sacrificed financially and time and all the things that we sacrificed. I have two teenage girls that I've got zero problems with. Zero. I mean, other than them being teenagers, sometimes I got to give them a stink eye.
That's what it looks like?
Yeah. So you know from now on, all right, when I got to give you some stink eye, all right? But church, please hear me. You don't need to homeschool your kids to keep them out of trouble. What we need to understand is that the enemy is going after our children. And if you think the school system is going to raise your kids right, you are lying to yourself. Right? You know what the school systems are telling kids nowadays? You don't need to listen to your parents. They don't know what they're talking about. Public school systems, they're telling our kids that. I've got some friends, I say, you know, ah, man, my kids are this. I said, give me your kid for a week. I'll straighten them right out. Is this all right, church? So let me show you something here, and almost done. If the promise here from the Lord, if we honor our father and our mother, the promise from God clearly is that this is a piece of the puzzle, at least, to living a blessed life. Anybody want to live a blessed life? Anybody not have their hand up? You need to get saved, man. Come on. I'm just going to be real. My mom is here with us, and she's told me many, many times, if I can, anything, she said, anything in my life that you want to share that helps people, go for it. Is that right?
Yep.
So it was interesting. We took her out to dinner on Friday. She came home Thursday. We went out to dinner on Friday. I got my mom a real nice Mother's Day card. And we went back to my house, and she was sitting on the couch. She got a little bit emotional. And I sat down. I said, "Mom, what's going on?" And this is what she says. She goes, "I wish I could have given my mom a card like that. But I could not. Because my mom was just, there was not a good relationship there." Sure. Yeah.
And if that happens to your children, they will suffer.
Yep. So for the sake of our recording, I know you guys probably couldn't hear that, but moms, particularly because it's Mother's Day, but moms that are physically present but emotionally absent, right? Moms, the role of a mom, my beloved, scripturally, is to nurture. And right? Gentle, kind, right? Doesn't mean that a man can't do that, but that's the role of a mother in Scripture. Is that okay? So, you know, I've had people look at my life and they say, "Oh, it must be nice living that cushy pastor's life." Rah. You know, they come and they see my marriage, they see my children, and I'm like, "Look, you don't know what I walked through to get to where I am today." And you know, my mom and my dad, who's home with the Lord now, their marriage failed. And I was young when that marriage failed. And the craziest thing, my beloved, is I thought it was my fault. I was 11 years old, 10, 11 years old. I was convinced that the marriage failed because of me.
And most children do.
Most children think that, yes. Right? If I was a better son, then this wouldn't have happened. And part of the journey, my beloved, to get where I am today, which is probably about an inch farther than I was 20 years ago in the kingdom. Right? The whole levels thing. Oh, I'm on level 20. The Lord's like, "You're on level 1.1. Good job. Keep going. But to get to level 1.1, you know what I had to do? I had to forgive my father. And I had to forgive my mother. Amen. Not only forgive them, but I had to choose. Everybody say choose.
Choose.
I had to choose to honor them.
Amen.
You know, one of the biggest things that breaks down relationships with our parents is trying to make them who we think they should be. When I accepted that my dad was my dad, and I blessed the good things about him, and I gave everything else to God, it was astounding how well our relationship just flourished. I stopped getting upset when he didn't do what I wanted him to do. And I was able to say, "Man, what an awesome man." Because he was an awesome man in so many ways. Can I get an amen? The word honor here, church, in the Old Testament, I was shocked. Anybody familiar with the Hebrew word kabod? Anybody remember what it is? What's that word normally translated? What?
Glory of God.
Glory. When you see in the Old Testament, when the Lord would show up in his glory, the one story that the priest couldn't stand to minister because the glory of God came and filled the temple. Right? There's another spot. Several times we see in the Old Testament where the glory of God would settle, and it's like they were like, they would fall on their faces before the Lord. The Hebrew word there, church, is kabod. Same word. It says, honor your father and your mother. The Hebrew word is kabod. The word means weight. Weight. And here's what it's talking about in the Old Testament and well into just culture, right? A lot of cultures, to not all that long ago, now we have money, right? We have $20 bills and Anybody got hundreds? I'll take those off your hands if you need me to do that. But we have money now, so we don't understand weight anymore. But up till not all that long ago, value and currency exchange was done with scales. So they would, if you're going to go buy Starbucks 300 years ago, they'd pour Starbucks onto a scale, and it would tip down, and then you'd have to take whatever you had and put it on the other end of the scale till it balanced it out. Do you understand? This is what the word means, church. What he's talking about, God is saying, look, you need to figure out something that you can see in your father and in your mother that you can value. You're like, Pastor, my mom was horrible. Well, church, I understand. I've talked to some of you, and it's horrible what you've been through with your mom. But Scripture requires us to say, I need to find something valuable in this person. And you know what? If the only thing that you can find is that you're on the earth, I say that's pretty important. Anybody get here without a mom? I mean, like physically here, not here this morning. Mommy didn't drive you off at church this morning, right? Anybody make it as a human without coming through your mother's womb? No, I don't think so. If your mother did nothing else but put you on this earth, then there's something that you can honor your mother for. And here's the thing. You say, well, she doesn't deserve it, and so doesn't deserve it. They don't deserve this. You know how many people in my life I look at, I say, you don't deserve my honor. But I choose to honor that person because it's what God says to do. And I want the promise of God in my life operating rather than my own stubbornness and my own pride and ego saying, you don't deserve my blessing. You know what God says? Fine, go ahead. Continue living in chaos and ruin. Ouch, that was a little strong, wasn't it? Lastly, right here, church, notice with me that there's not a lot of wiggle room here. My last little shot at current state of Christianity here. We've got this weird idea that because Jesus came and satisfied the old covenant, that the new covenant, there's all this like gray area. You know, like there's no commandments anymore. Everything's a suggestion. If you can get around to it sometime. But I don't know about you, but I read the Sermon on the Mount, which is, as far as I know, the greatest sermon ever preached, right? Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And he starts this one section where he says, you've heard it said of old that you shall not commit adultery. But I say, see, like, the old covenant church, there's some wiggle room in there. I can do a few things without actually messing that one up. Yeah? But Jesus, but I say to you, he's like, here's law, here's grace. Grace, the requirement don't go down, it goes up. Yeah? You've heard it said of old, thou shalt not murder, but I say to you, if you call someone a fool, you're in danger of hellfire. Yikes. You know, church, a good friend of mine, I don't think he's here today, but I shared this with some of you, but we got some friends visiting today. Good friend of mine here in the church, we've been friends a long time now. He said to me years ago, struggling with something in his life, and he's praying and just saying, oh, God, you know, like we do, oh, God, help me. Like sometimes we are such victims, aren't we? And he says, the Lord spoke to me, bro, so clearly. And the Lord said to me, you think I hung my son on a cross so you could keep doing that? Ouch. Here's the thing, church. God wants, just everybody close your eyes. Put your hand on your heart. If you're here with your spouse and your kids, man, put your arm around your spouse. Put your hands on your heart. And just say this after me. God wants to bless me. He wants me to be abundant. He wants me to flow in his spirit. The issue is not that God does not want to. The issue is that we dig our heels in. We want to keep doing things our way and then expect him to bless us. Doesn't work that way, church. God says, you want to walk in my kingdom? Here's the path. Wide is the road that leads to destruction. Many are those who travel on it, but narrow is the path and difficult is the way that leads to life, and few are those who walk on it. Right? We can't bring all our junk through the narrow gate. But once we get through the gate, amen? Here's my point, and then I'm done right here. And I just want to encourage you. The New Testament, my beloved, the requirement, you read it, the requirements go up. Across the board, requirements go up. Whatever you see requirement in the Old Testament, if that concept is in the New Testament, requirements are up. Every time. But it's not Old Covenant, as God's like, you know, good luck. That's why Jesus had to die on a cross, because we can't do it. But now, the Holy Spirit is living inside of us. Amen. To empower us to do what we can't do in our humanity. The issue is no longer that I cannot, it's that I will not. It's an issue of my will, not of my ability. See, honoring someone, church, particularly our moms, I praise God that I've got one that's pretty easy to honor. But for those of you that don't, honoring is not about their value. It's about your integrity and character. That's scripture all the time. Scripture's not about them. It's about me. Am I going to do what's right before God? I don't care what they did. Yeah? Let's stand up. I want to do something here. We got a few minutes. And let's just be real here, church. We're family, all right? Because I know, again, I'm grateful. Mother's Day for me is a nice weekend. I have a great mom. I have a wonderful spiritual mom who we had up here a few moments ago. I have a great wife who's an amazing mom to our kids. So Mother's Day is a great day for me. But I know some of you in here, Mother's Day is not a good day. It's a painful day, whether it was because of your mom or some of you have estranged children that I couldn't fathom not calling my mom on Mother's Day. It doesn't even register in my brain. So if today is a difficult day for you, I just want you to be bold enough and brave enough to just raise your hand right where you are. Again, so it's, you have a mom that's let you down. You have children that are astray. Whatever the issue is, right? This is a difficult day for you. Everybody's got their, put your hand up nice and high. I want, if you're around, someone with their hand up, maybe, so we got a few right here. Can I, if you don't have your hand up, can you move about and get somebody that's got their hand up? Let's lay hands on them in Jesus' name. Come on, church, hurry up, hurry up, hurry up. Remember, y'all got the same Holy Ghost in you that I got in me. Jesus' name. Father, right now, the mother that we should have had, the mother that we wanted to have, all of who she was or we wanted her to be is actually from you. I think we get the idea, church, of thinking, well, if my earthly dad wasn't so good, I've got a heavenly dad. But we don't think about if my earthly mom wasn't so good, I've got an earthly mom. I'm not calling God mom, but you see what I'm saying. All the mom stuff comes from God, just like all the dad stuff does. So Lord, in Jesus' name, every person this morning, whether you're physically here in the building or online with us, that has a hole in their heart because mom just wasn't there. Mom let you down. Mom abused you. Mom abandoned you. Mom didn't do this. Mom didn't do that. Mom says, I've heard some horrific things that a mom should never, ever say. Holy Spirit, right now we're asking for a healing, 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 healing right now, God, right now, Father, in the name of Jesus. Heal it right now, God, right now. Lord, let this no longer be a place that the enemy can use to torment us, Father, that the enemy can use to blindside us. Right when we think we're doing good, man, the rug gets pulled out from under us again. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, you said through the prophet, like a mother hen would gather her chicks under her wing, so will I protect you. Another spot you said, even if a nursing mother could forget her own child, I would not forget you, says the Lord. Every mom that has estranged children right now, Lord, fill that hole in their heart. Fill that hole in their heart, God. Fill it, God. Fill it, God. Fill it, God. Fill it, God, right now. Fill it, God, right now. Fill that spot in their heart right now, God. Lord, that they can love those kids that are wherever they are, God, without any pain, without all that junk that messes with our hearts and our heads, God. Lord, that they can love them pure, pure, God. And Father, we decree and declare all those estranged children, like the prodigal son, Lord, let them have their come to Jesus moment. When that son is lying there longing for the pig's life, he says, man, what am I doing? What am I doing? My Father's good. I'm going to go back. Let all those estranged children, Lord, just say right now, God. I don't care where they are. I don't care what they're doing. Right now, by your Spirit, God, let them say, what am I doing? What am I doing? My mom loves me. I'm going back. My mama loves me. I'm going back. Lord, you said you'd send the spirit of Elijah to restore the hearts of the fathers and the sons. But God, we're asking that you restore the hearts of the mothers and the sons, God. Restore. Restore right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for miraculous answer. You are near to the brokenhearted, God, and save those with a crushed spirit. So, Lord, we thank you that today is a day that we are no longer controlled by the pain of the past in Jesus' mighty name. Everyone said amen. Amen. You can continue ministering if you feel led to do that, church. Amen. And all the moms here, please don't run out. We do have a little something for you just to bless you. So, and pictures. All right, I guess we're going to take pictures out front. So Facebook and YouTube, blessings on you guys. Thank you so much for being with us. Happy Mother's Day. You are dismissed. Jesus' name.